not those lions. Three lions we can get behind.
And he hoofed it.
There's more pressure being ratcheted up with a loss like that, of course.
Just getting the head boxed off, should that just kind of happen.
For all your Lions coverage this summer, download the OTB Sports app.
You wait all your life for a 71-point scoreline, and then two come along in the space of 24 hours, or even less, 15 hours, 12 hours. Ireland 71, USA Eagles 10, the Lions 71, the Chelsea Sharks 31. Alan Quinlan is with us this morning. Alan, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, lads. How are you?
Andy Farrell's not a happy man, even though his team just racked up 71 points. I don't know what to make of it, to be honest. Again, I can only go back to what we all know. Who was the best fly half in the competition in the Six Nations? I don't know what more Johnny could do, really. This is in the aftermath of somebody who's not Johnny Sexton being called up to the Lions. What does Warren Gatland have against Johnny Sexton these days?
Yeah, it's a difficult one because we don't know if Johnny Sexton was officially on standby, if he's training at the moment. He hasn't played since April. I think what Warren Gatland is saying, it's like for like with Marcus Smith coming in, a similar type player to Finn Russell. But, when I heard the news, first thing I thought, God, that's incredibly disappointing for Johnny Sexton. I would presume he's kept in shape and kept training with a view to maybe being called up. But
well, that's
Marcus Smith.
The other quote I should read out. Johnny is fighting fit. He's been in our camp. He's taken good care of himself. And Warren knows that. I heard the comments. I think he made the comment that it was like for like with Finn Russell and Marcus Smith. I don't know what to make of it, to be honest.
No, and I think it's disappointing. And particularly when he spoke about James Ryan and Johnny Sexton when he announced the squad, the Lions. And Marcus Smith, in fairness, was brilliant the last few weeks, but he's still very, very young and inexperienced, and only made his debut for England. He was really good for Harlequins in the semi-final and final of the Premiership. But I don't agree with it. I think it's a wrong decision. And it's harsh on Johnny Sexton that, given what he did in the Six Nations, I think what goes against him is he hasn't played since April. So very disappointing for him. Another kick in the teeth, if you like. And I was surprised by it. Some people are saying, yeah, look, Smith has played really well in the last few weeks, but he's still very inexperienced. And, if he's next in line, he should have been called up. Marcus Smith wasn't being talked about when the line squad was named. So I know things change, but it's very disappointing for Johnny Sexton again.
When the squad was announced in May, Gatland was obviously asked about Sexton, and he said it was to do with going to South Africa. He said probably the thing that kept coming back to us was Johnny's durability, being able to put a string of games together consecutively, big matches together. He then said he had been rested on a number of occasions, and unfortunately that's what swayed it for us in terms of not having the confidence that he can get through what's going to be a tough physical tour. In fairness to Warren Gatland, there hasn't been any available evidence that would allow him to change his mind on that.
No, because I think, if Johnny had played last week against Japan, at least he'd have a match under his belt and would have got out there and been active. His inactivity probably goes against him as well. So, it's a tough call on Johnny Sexton, but, there's an argument to say that because he hasn't played since April, it's gone against him. And, Marcus Smith, as I said, grabbed the attention the last couple of weeks with his performances. But it's a disappointing one. This like-for-like situation, if Johnny Sexton is good enough, he should have been there.
The like-for-like thing is, it obviously makes sense in Warren Gatland's head, but Finn Russell and Dan Biggar are not in any way similar, and they're not in any way similar to Farrell either. But Biggar and Farrell, you would say, are fairly similar, and it looks like that's the direction we're going at 12. Finn Russell, maybe I'm wrong, and who knows with COVID, maybe Finn Russell does start in the first test and it's a complete wild card, and that's the type of thing that they're thinking about having here. But it does seem like it's essentially snubbing Sexton at this point.
Yeah, it does. And like I say, the hardest thing, and it's probably easier, not that it's an easy decision, I think it's easier for what happened in the last few weeks with Johnny not playing and Marcus Smith playing really well. So that's grabbed the attention of And it mightn't be solely down to Warren Gatland. It could be Gregor Townsend. You know, if he brings in Sexton and he stays with the squad, would he be involved in the tests if he played a couple of decent games? That could well happen. So it's all speculation, but it's very, very disappointing for Johnny Sexton. And I think I'd feel hard done by if I was him. And I think he's every right to be disappointed by it.
In terms of the actual performance, the game itself, obviously, it was a match against an opponent they had just played, a different team. Both teams had made significant numbers of changes, and it was relatively close. They went behind for the first time on this tour before the second half, and they absolutely blitzed them and rack up the 71 points. So how much are we learning from these matches? I know it's very difficult with the teams being mixed and matched, but what are the coaches taking, particularly from this most recent game?
Not a huge amount, bar just getting matches under their belts and getting minutes under their belts as a group. I think it was a very disjointed performance, particularly in the first half. I think they were better in the second. Lots of basic errors and mistakes and lots of concerns because, you know, the Sharks were a lot better emotionally. They were well up for it after what happened last Wednesday when they were well beaten and really poor. We won't know until we get to that first test. The Springboks themselves are going to be massively undercooked with the Georgia game off and on all the COVID cases and their inability to train. So it's becoming a little bit farcical. It's out of their control, the Lions, but they can only play what's in front of them. And, you know, having no crowds there, traditionally when you played club sides in the Lions tours, you know, it's a great opportunity for players trying to make a name for themselves to come up against the big guns, if you like, in the Lions, and crowd behind them and the energy and all that kind of stuff that goes with it. We haven't got that. So it's a little bit more difficult, but I think there's a lot of concerns in the first half. Physically, being undercooked going into that first test could be a concern for them. Some of the handling errors were really, really poor, and I don't think Warren Gatland or any of us know what the best test side is at the moment, and maybe that'll pan itself out in the next couple of games. They play again on Wednesday and Saturday, and then you're into test week. So it's there's a few concerns there, but I think, look, match practice and match sharpness, I think that's what they're probably getting out of it the most, because you're not being tested in scrum maul. You're not under relentless amounts of pressure. I think the tries that the Sharks scored the other day, a lot of them were from mistakes and errors, things that are easily fixable. So it's hard to know, Ger, what they're learning from all this, but they can only do what's in front of them. And we're thankful for a tour. A lot of disruption last week within the Lions camp themselves with late changes before that first Sharks game. So it's a difficult situation, and it's not the same as the normal tour, even without the crowds, with all this disruption of the COVID cases in the Springbok camp and what the Lions went through last week. It's a difficult one to kind of pinpoint. But, you know, if I was a player in the squad, I just want to be getting minutes under my belts and keep that sharpness, that match fitness there. And I'm sure there's no major concerns there because, you know, they changed the whole picture in the second half after Hendrickson was sent off. I think Warren Gatland would have preferred that he wasn't sent off and that they had 15 players against them and that they were tested a little bit more in that second half. But I think they were a lot better in the second half. But, you know, there's a few concerns there that they need to iron out in the next week or two.
12 days to the first test. It's hurtling towards us at this point.
Yeah, it is. And they have two games left. Will South Africa A play in Wednesday? Will it be the Stormers? Who knows? So it's just been a tour of uncertainty. And again, it's kind of out of their control. But if they get another couple of games under their belt, I've said this last week on Virgin Media when we're doing the highlights. Do we want to see a situation where the Springboks don't do anything, a little bit of training before that first test and that's it? And the Lions win it, and they're going to be very undercooked. It's a little bit of an uneven playing field at the moment because the Lions are able to play games. But again, look, there's nothing we can do. We should be thankful that we hopefully get get to a situation where we get test matches, but none of it is ideal. But I think the lines will get better, and it's getting closer now to try and nail down you know, who's going to start in that first test, particularly whatever about this Wednesday, the Saturday game. I think you'd have to be trying to play as close as possible to the team they're going to start in that first test the week after.
Does that like create then this weird sense of pressure, Alan, obviously, where, like I said, it was framed initially as, wow, world champions, South Africa at home, they're going to be really up against us. Now it kind of feels like the tables are turning quite significantly, where it's like this team, as you say, are undercooked, underprepared. And is anything other than a series win going to be an acceptable outcome?
Yeah, there is a bit more pressure. Look, there's always going to be pressure going there. And look, I'm sure it's just not ideal. I just hope we're not talking about a poor Springboks performance through the test series because of what's gone on. Hopefully, it's like they haven't played since the World Cup. They've won game played since the World Cup, and I know a lot of their players were playing in Europe and playing playing a lot of games, and there are a lot of big game players there. But it would be disappointing if they were, you know, they weren't able to get to that level of performance that we know they can and that we didn't see a true test. But I don't think they'll be worried about that now, and there's any more pressure. I think there's always going to be pressure. They'll take it as it comes, and it's down to, you know, get a good start in the first test. And whoever loses that, the pressure goes back on them. It is a bit uneven at the moment. And, you know, you'd love to see hear the Springboks are back, get back training as quickly as possible. I know they're a large group of the squad are able to train this week, and they're back out in the training field, but nothing replicates matches. And no matter what way we look at it, they're going to be undercooked from a match performance point of view.
Let's assume that there's no more COVID outbreaks from the Lions' perspective between now and the first test. How many Irish players are in the team as it stands for you? So, Tadhg Furlong and Conor Murray.
Tadhg Furlong, Conor Murray, yeah. And I think Tadhg Byrne looks like he's playing his way into the number six jersey. His performance was superb the other day. The problem for Jack Conan is I think Gatland is going to select Faletau. He was really good in the Six Nations, to be fair. But he certainly played really well for 55 minutes on Saturday as well. Robbie Henshaw, we haven't seen in a couple of weeks, who was a nailed-on starter in everyone's minds before the tour, is now suddenly under a little bit of pressure. I think Chris Harris was good at the weekend. Bundy Aki has been good in the tour so far. I would have, after, you know, two games, I would have been saying Aki and Henshaw will be your centres. But Chris Harris was good the other day. It's very hard to pick a test team, and this is the first time in a long time on a Lions tour that right across the board, there's probably only three or four guys that you'd say are definite starters. Even at Looseheads, you know, fit Makuvunipola is probably on the team sheet, but I think Wyn Jones and Rory Sutherland have looked unbelievably busy and fit and energetic in the last few weeks. Ken Owens, Jamie George, who knows, will play there. Even in the second row, you probably have to say, look, Atoje will start. Who's going to partner him in the second row? Henderson has a good chance. And, you know, but right across the board, you don't know. Will Farrell play 10? Will he play 12? Will he play it all? And the back three, I think all the wingers and options at fullback are playing really well. So, you know, it's a bit of a lottery at the moment. If you were to try and pick a test team, loads of people would have different test teams at the moment. So he's got to try and nail that down the next week or two. But I think Tadhg Byrne has put himself right in the picture. He's an incredibly intelligent player and looks really sharp, looks fit, loads of involvements at the weekend. And he's a great chance of starting at six. And you know, I thought that was an opportunity for him. I don't think he'll start in the second row. I think he's a great chance of starting at six. So we're probably going to have three or four in the test team, I think.
Okay, well, we take that at this stage. Ireland scored 71 points as well. Frequently from these matches, it's very difficult to learn anything. It's an opportunity to take away the nervousness that your first caps are going to have around it. But actually, was there some bits and pieces that we'd be looking at that going, you know, definitely this wasn't entirely meaningless as completely one-sided matches go?
I had a fear going into this game because, to be fair to the USA, they were they really put it up to England. I know it was a second-string England team, same as Ireland. The week before, they scored 29 points. They were physical. They were aggressive. Lots of good pressure in their game against England. So when you make the number of changes that Andy Farrell did, and you have the potential you have a lot of new faces in the match day 23, you're thinking this could be scrappy. You know, it could be 25, 30 point win and with a lot of mistakes. And given that the performance against Japan wasn't what you'd want entirely, and that's not taking that away from Japan. They're incredibly dangerous and unbelievable skillful side, but I think there was a lot of mistakes and errors in that game. It was a good win in the end, don't get me wrong, but I was really pleased with what I saw on Saturday. I thought there was a ruthlessness there and an energy about the performance that was brilliant. And of course, everybody's going to say, well, America were useless and they played really poor and they were they weren't good at all. But I just thought the ruthless nature of the performance, scoring 71 points after being, you know, a slow start, the first 10 or 15 minutes, there was mistakes, line-out inaccuracies, you know, turnovers, all that kind of stuff. I thought it was brilliant to watch. I thought the passing, the execution, the ambition, and there's probably less pressure. And when things start to go for you, of course, you can start throwing caution to the wind a little bit. But I just loved the fact that there was a load of accuracy there and there was a load of intent to keep attacking. They didn't go back into their shell anyway. When they got good scores, they went pretty much straight back up the field trying to get score again. I know the sending off probably, you know, did affect the game, but there was so much that I was really pleased with. And to get 8 new caps, I think that's 14 new caps in the last 12 months from Andy Farrell. So part of that transition leading on to the next World Cup, I think it was really pleasing to see some of the performances from those new caps.
Yeah, good stuff. Alan, great to have you back. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks, lad.